Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the journey you take us through. And we thank you because you walk with us every step of the way. And you prepare us for such a great, great work. And even your word says that the sufferings that we encounter in this time are nothing compared to the glory that is set ahead of us, or that is set before us. Now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, because we come to the time of that glory, that everything that we have not understood, everything that we've gone through, everything that we've tried to comprehend and understand about the walk that we have in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, because we come to the time where it all makes sense. And we all understand that it was for this reason that we went through what we went through. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Wonderful things are happening, even if they may not look like wonderful. Are you following what's happening in Israel? Yeah. Eh? You know, I was thinking that maybe I was thinking it's possible that these 4 years of this old man, you know, who cheated an election, might actually, I'm not meaning about the one here, I'm not meaning the 5 years, I'm meaning the four, You understand? There is the five, then there is the what? So in that period of the 4 years, we might actually see that River Euphrates war, which we've been speaking about. Because if you've been following what's happening in Israel right now, you know that there is a provocation. And there is something about it that is so predictable. Because in the 4 years previous to that, when Trump was president, the Palestinians were not doing what they are doing now. But now they have been emboldened. Of course, they are emboldened. The last time they did it was 2014. When there was another Democrat in office, and the Democrats give them money to pay people who are going to go and blow up Israel. So Trump had cut off that money, so somehow there was peace prevailing. And actually, there was going to be peace in that place, because remember all the Arab nations which had come into agreement with Israel. And the whole globalist international cable did not like the idea that Bahrain and Dubai, or United Arab Emirates, is what I mean to say, were signing agreements with Israel. They did not like it. Actually, it was so clear how much they hated it that on the day when those two countries sat on the lawn of the White House to sign a deal where they finally acknowledge Israel and they finally enter into some kind of peace with Israel, guess what was the main headline on CNN? Trump meets people without wearing masks. That's how stupid those people can be. Now, they have been talking about peace in the Middle East. Those countries sat in Sudan so many years ago. And they said, they came up with what they called the three no's concerning Israel. No recognition, no peace, and what is the third no? Three no's concerning Israel. They will never recognize it. They will never have any sort of peace agreement with them, and there was a third no. And now, those very countries which were there were coming. Now, Tunisia was about to follow, Morocco was about to follow, Saudi Arabia was about to follow, but CNN sees that they were not wearing masks. Of course, they did not like the whole thing. Now, of course, there is a reason why they don't like it, and there's a reason why as soon as they got rid of Trump, the first thing they did, give money, which they had cut off to the Palestinians. Now, of course, there is all this thing that, Palestine's fighting for freedom and for peace and all that. But the truth is, there are so many things which people have to understand about the way the Middle East works. I don't expect them to understand, because these are spiritual things, okay? Now, when you've taken a certain direction spiritually, you'll buy into everything. You know, these people are being tormented, and they go and provoke Israel, which is so many times stronger than they. And then when Israel is just about to retaliate, this thing is mad. Can't we just get these no more mics? Eh? Now, when Israel is just about to retaliate, then guess what they do? They come up and say, cease fire. Then the whole international committee, cease fire, cease fire. And you're like, what kind of stupidity is that? It's like I go to Gorilla and I punch him, punch him, punch him. Then when he's about to come for me, people say, cease fire, cease fire. I'm the one who provoked the guy. And I can't handle him. You understand? And now this is what is out. And then the whole international committee say, cease fire, cease fire. But then, I'll tell you this. The hostility that is going to come against Israel now is not going to be the kind of hostility that was there before. It is spiritual. And it is, and now the spirit of the Antichrist just hates Israel. You understand? Because Israel, I was listening actually to the speech of their prime minister. And by the way, just by looking at Israel, and I'm told that even the French guy, Napoleon, was asked that, how do you know there is God? Then he said, you look at the Jew. He said that because Netanyahu was saying, all the empires that try to destroy Israel are all gone, from the Babylonians to what? But guess who is still here? Israel. He said when we were given this land 70 years ago, it was desert. There was nothing. It was dejected. Now we're exporting fruits. We're exporting all sorts of green things from that place. We have turned the place around. And we've got, do you know the interesting thing that the countries that have actually gone to space, what right has Israel got to be going to space in? Because even Europe, they combined a number of countries to manage to go to space. Then there is China, then there is Russia, then there is America. Then there is Israel, a country with just less than 20 million people. Israel, on their own. Germany had to combine with Britain with what? To go to space. A combined about 320 million people. But Israel goes there. Now you see that the fig tree is blossoming. You understand? When Jesus says, when you see the fig tree blossom, you know that it's near even at the doorsteps. And now, of course, we know that if you've been following, you know what? We are waiting for the sixth trumpet to go. Because I believe five of them have already gone. So now we are waiting for the sixth. And the sixth, when the sixth goes, we know what is going to happen. Some of you are saying we did not hear the trumpets. Praise the Lord. You are not supposed to hear, you are supposed to see what happens when the trumpets go. Now, the sixth one, we know what is going to happen. The four spirits which were, you know, on River Euphrates, released for such a time to cause a war which will cause one third of humanity to be killed. One third of humanity. And guess what? Nobody will be talking about COVID when that happens. Eh? Because now this will be one third, about 2.3 billion people dead. And we know who is going to be involved in the war. And guess what is interesting right now? Some of the countries we know are going to be involved in the war, according to scripture, are all having strong opinions on this small skirmish between Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza. Russia came in the other day. We know Russia is going to be involved. And we know they are going to be involved on the side of Iran and Palestine and so on. Actually, we know China is going to be involved from what we see there. But we also know almost all the Arab world is going to be involved. But now the beauty of scripture is that we know there will be 200 million people, soldiers, 200 million soldiers who will attack Israel. 200 million. That is just staggering. Because there is no country which comes even close to having 5 million combatants. It's not there. Now, the top countries, now I think the U.S. military has reduced, it's probably, it's less than 500,000. Actually, I think it's about 450,000 actual combatants. China has the biggest. They are just over 1 million. India is much less, but there and thereabout. So the question is, where are 200 million people going to come from? When even China, which has a population of 1.6, I don't know how many, 3, 4, 6 billion, has an army of 1 million. Where are 200 million? As the Bible says, and John says that, I saw 200,000 thousands. In the old King James, here it says 200 million, which is the same. Horsemen, where are they going to come from? Of course, we know. We've studied that. And that's not what I'm here to preach today. We know where the 200 million are going to come from. And we know that it's about. And we know it's very near. But then we also know there shall not be a peace agreement until this war is fought. Because nobody is interested in peace right now. There has to be something that happens that makes people want peace. The same way it was after the First World War, when they came up with the League of Nations. We shall never go to war again. We have to do something to make sure we never go to war. But they did. Then after the Second World War, 52 million people dead. Then they said, United Nations, we shall never go to war again. And guess what? According to Bible, they are going to go to war again. And now this time it will not be 8 million like it was in the First World War, or 52 million like it was in the Second World War. It is going to be in excess of 2 billion. Now, the people who have been trying to, to control populations by, don't worry about them. There is going to be a population control which will be out of their control. You understand? Eh? Then they will realize they wasted their time doing that thing. Because populations will be reduced in a way that is actually biblical. Now, the interesting thing about this, by the way, is you see the way things are happening. I remember at the end of 2017, I went to pray somewhere, and I was trying to see like what's happening. And now the interesting thing, that everything I saw, which I thought was supposed to happen in 2018, actually is happening now. So I spoke things, and I waited for them to happen, and they did happen. And guess what? They're happening right now. So I was a bit right, but a bit offside. Eh? So I ran ahead of what? Of my time. But you see, I was presuming everything that I was seeing was for that year, because I had gone there with that mindset. But then I knew that there was going to be you know where the whole thing started? Temple Mount, what? I actually saw all of that, eh? Where there is a dispute over the Temple Mount. Then Jews want to go there and pray from there. Then Muslims say Jews are not supposed to pray from there. Then some skirmishes start as they did. And then eventually, there's actually a real confrontation, as there is right now. And it's only going to get worse. Because now here is what Israel says, which is so interesting. They said that we are going to, you keep on bringing on those missiles. When you retaliate, we are going to go and come into your territory. And the place where we decide to stop will expand up to there. And that's how Israel has expanded this territory. You know that, eh? Because in 1967, it was a very small place until a number of Arab countries attacked them. When they went to defend themselves, they didn't just defend their small territory. They moved. Even the West Bank, where now the Gaza Strip, where those people are, they took it over. They took over West Bank, they took over Gaza Strip, they took over the same Temple Mount and all those places which were in control of other people. Now, they said, okay. And meanwhile, the place where they're saying they are going to enter is this a very small place, that Gaza Strip. And it's home to about 2 million people. So they are very squeezed in there. Very squeezed. And so they say, we'll come and, you're the ones who provoked us. So we'll come and squeeze you. Then when we stop, we say, okay, now the rest is yours. Now this one is ours. Of course, but the reason people do this is because they believe that the so-called international community. Okay? But now, Israel has to know that the international community is against Israel. And they know it. And trying to appease them is a waste of time. They are not going to be appeased. The devil is never going to be appeased. And the international community, led by those globalists, is the devil. Like there is no other... Do you understand what I'm saying? Every agenda they are pushing is straight from hell. Now, there are still some men of God who think that they can still have a table, you know, somewhere in that system. And I see so many of them trying to fit within that system, trying to behave as if the church is some kind of moral arm of the international community. And I find that so naive, because we have come to the time where there is real confrontation. They are against us, we are against them, we are going to win. And there is not going to be any compromise. It's just that simple, by the way. They are against us. They would bring everything to try and close down churches, try and close down this, using governments, using this, using all sorts of systems, using the technocracy, which they have introduced, where they want all every communication to go online, where they can control it, and every other thing that they come up with, you understand? Now, and the whole purpose, by the way, is the church. Now, the people who are tied in that system think the church is insignificant, you know, you're just born again people, but the people who are at the top know that actually the real enemy is us. You understand? Eh? It's not some men, some professors, and what those ones are just being taken captive in their minds, as the Bible says. The real enemy is us. And we also know who the real enemy is. Praise the Lord. But now the beauty of it is this. Eh? When you know what the Bible says, you know that no matter what happens, it's going to come to pass. You understand? Eh? Because even what Netanyahu is saying, how Israel is this and that, all that, the only thing they have ever had on their side is a word spoken by God. That's why all those military powers came against them, but they could not prevail. Because God's word is eternal and has to come to pass. Amen? Just one line in the Bible, even if the whole world, China, America, and what, one line like this in the Bible, they can never come up against it and prevail. Never. It's impossible. And now, of course, those who have followed the Watchman know that we've seen through the 1967 war how improbable it was that all those military powers come against Israel. A very small army that time, a country that had been in existence less than 20 years, and it is taking on superior army. You know, Syria on the one side, Jordan on the other side, Egypt on the other side, and the Mediterranean Sea on this side. And everybody is surrounding them, saying, "We are driving you into the sea." And not only do Israel win, they win in 6 days. And all those countries enter very fast and say, "Cease fire, cease fire." And then Israel says, "Actually, we are looking at Cairo. We are going to overtake Egypt." But then they say, "Hey, cease fire, cease fire." Then Israel says, "Now we enter into an agreement." 6 days. 6 days. I have read all, you know, accounts of it. And you realize that there is nothing that can explain it militarily, and you know that. Now, the whole thing that has happened, that a country so small and apparently so insignificant, that has come under a lot of, you know, attacked by the Ottomans, attacked by the, you know, the Napoleons, attacked by all sorts of leaders in Europe, attacked by Hitler, attacked by what? All those countries have all been, all those, the Third Reich and all that, somehow dissipate, and these people still stay there. And they're a testament to the fact that they're actually God's people. And you can never take that away. And the devil is not going to try to stop. He's not going to stop trying, rather, to take that away. But he's not going to stop failing either. Because we know that. Praise the Lord. And he's going to have his people, and there will be all sorts of people, you know, United Nations, over resolution what? Resolution what? The only resolutions they pass are against Israel. So now nobody is going to be mentioning about how many 340 missiles which were sent into Israel territory. Nobody will say that. They will just say how Israel retaliated. The so-called international news. And of course, they will take people captive who want to be taken captive, who have decided to believe that thing and what. But we are actually living in very interesting times. Eh? And now the reason this is interesting is because there's always been a correlation between victories that happen with Israel and with the church. Amen? It has always been that way. So now, when these guys go and hammer those other people, eh? Then you'll see also something happening significant in the church. Praise the Lord. And that will be some kind of revival. Sometimes it's not like victory, but it's a kind of different sort of revival, the kind that we're expecting right now. Praise the Lord. And we're expecting a very, very serious revival. And now it's not a revival like the ones that used to be before. Eh? Because, you know, previously, people, when you talk, people talk about revival, they think people are going to start praying in tongues and then they see fire and what. That's actually a bit of what's good. But it's going to be a sort of a complete separation. Come out of them, my people, where the church is separate from the world. And then there's a clear distinction. And then the distinction becomes clearer, because on the one side there will be judgment. Clear judgment. But guess what? The people who will be judged will not change, because their hearts will be hardened further and further by the judgment of God. The scripture says that. And then on the other side, there will be, you know, these people blossoming. Some people, of course, will wake up and say, how come these people are blossoming? Now, let me tell you this. You wait and see, now that this conflict has come out. Because God has always used the nation of Israel to split the nations one way or the other. You understand that? The nations that bless Israel are blessed. And those that do not bless Israel go down. That is in the scripture. That is in contemporary world. You remember when in the Second World War, when the Jews were running away from Hitler after he was taking out a lot of Europe. Then the United Kingdom, which was all that at the time, this whole empire, the British Empire, stretching to Caribbean and where and Africa and all that. But the UK said they're only accepting 1,000 Jews every 30 days to come into their territory. 1,000 Jews. Now, 1,000 was actually less than the number of Jews who came to want to enter in one day. So when they would make 1,000, they say the rest of you, now they would not even tell them don't come to the UK. They would put them on ships and take them straight to Hitler to be killed. So as soon as the Second World War ended, Britain became irrelevant. They are now very irrelevant. Only historically are they relevant. Even Brazil has a bigger economy than them. Produce nothing. Nothing. Totally. Even the Germans who were killing the Jews actually now bigger than Britain. So, they come up with big companies. Range Rover. Then it's just bought by Germans. So it retains this name that's British, but it's German. You understand what I'm saying? Now, immediately after that, in the next 20 years, the whole British Empire crumbled. India got independence in 1947. That started a run of countries getting independence, which were under Britain. And now they only, you know, they are trying to hold on to a Commonwealth, you know. Then there is now a Chogam summit in where? Which was supposed to be in Rwanda in 2019. No, 2020. Eh? Then COVID came. Then they pushed it to 2021. Then the COVID stayed. Now they have pushed it to what? Commonwealth has lost meaning. What is Commonwealth? The scripture talks of a Commonwealth. You know what it talks about the Commonwealth? Eh? You look for the word Commonwealth there in the Bible. It's in Ephesians chapter 2 or 3. 2, I think. The only place it says Commonwealth, and does it involve Britain? For us, we are in a different Commonwealth. That time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the Commonwealth of what? Israel. There's only one Commonwealth. Not of Britain. Irrelevant. Now, you wait and see the countries that align themselves with Israel. And they've come out strong. There are some countries which have come out strong in alliance with Israel. And see how God, in a short span of time, is going to bless them. And now those which come out against, you'll hear natural disasters. Now the judgment has started. You'll hear earthquakes. You'll hear natural disasters. You'll hear wildfires, heat, and all those things. Eh? And things which happen. And it's just because God is saying, okay, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who what? And that word is eternal. And it is true for Abraham, and it is true for all his natural descendants. Praise the Lord. So that's why we as a country, and I've told you this before. You see, people say that you've heard them saying how Uganda was, you know, at the same level with South Korea. Actually, apparently, ahead of them in the 1960s. And somewhere in the 70s, started going down. And people say that we started going down because of expulsion of the Asians. No, actually, it's because Amin closed the embassy with Israel. That was the beginning of the downfall. And we've still not opened that embassy. And it might open when somebody else is what? Hallelujah. Now, and when it happens, you people think these spiritual things are... You know, there was a time when spiritual things take a long time, you understand? Eh? But now it happens instantly. And then you look at Uganda and you can no longer recognize it. That's why I was so angry the other day when there was, in 2016, you remember, when the Prime Minister came here to celebrate how many years? 40 or 50? 40 years since the raid on Entebbe. And then our president got confused. I think some demon went on his head. Not I think, I know some demon got on his head. Then he started calling Israel Palestine. Then they just switched him off. They saw a confused man and they just did what? Switched him off. I'm saying that because I've seen some people who are here today. Man, I want them to go and... Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Because now, the axe has been put on the what? Some people are going to be taught... Because there's something the Lord was revealing to me right now, a while back. Eh? And some people think that, you know, yeah, now, this is over now. Let's what? Let's get back to work. It's only just getting started. Thank you very much. Now, you watch and see. Watch and see. It's only just getting started. And now you see, here is the thing. So many people don't know that they think that God reacts emotionally the way we do. You understand? So when somebody comes and does something, then you say, man, fire is going to strike. You know, God does not do like that. Eh? He takes his what? His sweet time. He takes his time and waits for a peak. Hmm? The scripture says, in the latter days, when iniquity has reached its peak. Eh? You understand? Eh? So he waits for his, he takes his time. But now here is the funny thing. When he starts moving, even you will pray for some of the people whom you wanted God to hammer and say, God, relent. That has happened in the Bible. You understand? Eh? Where people pray, God, no, then he says, no, not yet. Then you pray for something, he says, not yet. Then when it happens, you are the one who says, God, please stop. Like, okay, you've done enough. But now he has waited because he's, you know, that's what Peter says, that some people think God is slack in judgment. Eh? But he takes his time, willing that everybody comes to what? Repentance. Eh? Now when he has taken his time and it has come to, you know, it says in Peter, 2 Peter, that some people think it's slack in judgment. They say, you spoke of these things, you spoke of that. When is it going to happen? Now let me tell you, he is like that even in reward. Do you understand? He's like that even in what? Reward. Because he will lead you by a way. And you say, but this is taking too long. When am I going to, you know? You understand? You know, even in the book of Revelation, there is where even the saints in heaven, eh? They say, how long, Lord, before you avenge us? You get us that scripture. Where, you know, even they're in heaven, but they're saying, this guy has killed us. Eh? Now it is time. Eh? How long, Lord? Okay, first keep it here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But when that door has been closed, man, the judgment comes. And when it comes swiftly. Even swifter than you ever wanted it. Because for you, you were reacting emotionally. God does not react what? Emotionally. No, his things is... So you get us that one where he says the saints in heaven say, how long? And they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? Why do you give me King James? Give me new King James. They cried with a loud voice. King James called what? Fishes. Now, if my primary school teacher had me coding, because now they kind us, fish has no plural. One fish, five what? Fishes lie down. Now, King James says fishes. Now I don't want what? To be caned again. Anyway, and I cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Imagine these ones are in heaven enjoying. But they are saying, God, how long? Then listen to what he says. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were is completed. In other words, God is waiting for a certain number. You were killed by these men, don't worry. There are other people who are still going to be what? But when that number reaches, then they will see the judgment of God. Then he says, until the number is completed. Then I looked when he opened the sixth seal. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let me not even go into that now. But what I'm saying is, by the way, the interesting thing about all this is even in his reward. You understand? There are people who will wait. And then you're trying to chart a path to your promise. How is it going to happen? And it happens just like that. Because the time has arrived. Imagine if you are Joseph. I mean the Joseph in the Bible. And the scripture says he interprets the dreams of those guys, you remember? And then tells the one who had a good interpretation. When you get there, remember me. But the scripture says it took 2 years. 2 years. And the guy is still in prison for something he didn't do. And I'm sure at some stage he's saying, but really, how is this going to happen? Everybody has forgotten about me. At least when I was in Potiphar's house, Potiphar could go and say, you know, there's this servant who is good and what. But now here in prison, everybody has forgotten about me. And I know what that feels like. Eh? I know so many people who feel that people have forgotten about you. You're not there. Eh? Tori yo. Eh? And it actually feels like that. I've been through that. Eh? Where you were once something, then you become nothing. And then you become absolutely what? Nothing. But then you're about to become what? Yes. And I know what. I've felt a bit of that. Now, it came to pass that at the end of 2 full years, and it's almost as if the Bible is trying to emphasize. First, go to the verse 39, 40 rather, the previous verse. Yet the chief butler did not remember. The previous one, 22. Okay, start from 20. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. I want actually where he said, start from verse 18. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. Go ahead. With 3 days, Pharaoh lift off the head, and then the birds would eat flesh. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph. There is where Joseph told him that when it happens, remember me, because I'm in this. Okay, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now that's what happens when you're trying to chart your own way to things. And the people whom you expect that this one is going to get, it does not ever happen like that. Now 2 full years until one day, I'm sure the way I know the way these things work, that must have even been the worst day of his life. Lord, what have I done to be here? That woman, I did the right thing. But here am I because of that woman. Now what have I done to deserve being here? Even these guys whom I sent, the guy I gave him a proper interpretation, he went, he forgot about me. But God is waiting for a certain time. And now when the time comes, instantly. 1 minute you're in prison, the next minute you're shaving your beard. The other minute, Pharaoh is saying, there is none wise like you.
And the advice is good in all his servants. In as much as God revealed this to you, we cannot find somebody like you. So now you are that man. Just like that. And then God has his signature on it. Because you cannot plot that I did this. No, it had nothing to do with you. You understand? So you cannot fool yourself that it was you. No, it is him and you know it. If the butler had said, you anyway, because you gave us an interpretation, I reached there and I told Pharaoh, no, he forgot. God had to do it himself, praise the Lord. Now, I know what it is like to be in that place where you are. You're there. Your seat is empty. Do you understand what I mean? Eh? Now, there's a scripture which I like in 1 Samuel chapter 20. You know the story. That's if you read the Bible. It talks about how David, and I like giving this example. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse. We'll start from verse. First, go to 1 Samuel chapter 20. I'll tell you the verse when you get there. Now, here is the story. David was a nobody. You understand? Then he became a somebody. When he killed what? Goliath. Then the women are shouting. Eh? Our man. You understand? Eh? Eh. And there's a way women can shout and mess people up. Eh? I remember there was a time we used to play football at when I was working in some company and different, you know, categories of the departments would play football. Now there's this young man whom he was a defender. We knew how to get the best from him. So we would call babes. Eh? Now when the babes would sing, even nobody would pass by him. Even if they brought mercy. The babes would be singing, yeah, yeah. This guy would clear everything. So we knew the tactic. So now David had seen the women singing. What? Yeah, our man. Saul has killed his thousands. David, his tens of thousands. Wakabi six pack, what? Then one day, out of nowhere, he becomes a nobody. Go to verse 24. Verse 24. Then David hid in the field, and when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast. Now the king sat on his seat, as at other times, on a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner, who was the commander, sat by Saul's side. But David's place was what? David's place was what? So imagine somebody who had a place at the king's table, but now the place is empty. And now what does an empty seat communicate? There are so many people who are scared of your seat being empty. You say, I have to be on my seat. I have to sit at that place where I'm supposed to sit. But now the king sat on his seat. No, go to the next verse. Okay, now... Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought something happened to him. He's unclean, surely he's unclean. It happened the next day, the second day of the month, the second day of something new, the second day after the... What did you say? Swear again. Have you guys seen this guy? You spies, have you seen the guy? This is the guy who does not want what? Evigenda Maso. Okay. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was what? And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, "What? Why has the son of Jesse not come to eat, either yesterday or today?" Praise the Lord. Now, what does an empty seat mean? What does it communicate? That somebody's seat is empty. And you have a seat in a glorified place in front of a king. But somehow your seat falls empty. Praise the Lord. Now that's the thing which many people fear. Oh, people fear it. Your seat to be empty. You were something. You were somebody. People used to look at. Now let me tell you. I've tested a bit of this. But I suspect I'm still testing a bit more of it. Well, let me tell you so that you understand what I'm talking about. Now, there was a time when I used to be, you know, this. I used to glory myself in the fact that I knew many people in high places. You understand? Eh? So people come to you and say, I want this. I say, no, I know somebody in that place.
Then I get on the, you know, on the phone and call, and things happen. And I feel important. You understand? Eh? You make things happen. So you somebody, yeah, man, how are you? This is Kableta. Hey, Kableta, how are you? There's this guy of mine I'm sending him. Are you send him? Then you put down the phone and say, yeah, it is well. You go. In case something goes wrong, just give me a call. You understand? And it felt good. It felt real good. My seat was occupied. Praise the Lord. Then, somehow, I don't know what God did to me to mess me up. I was hammered so bad that I realized nobody knows me. And I don't know anybody. You understand? I got to a point where everything that I thought I had was not there. I couldn't call anybody, even to save myself, much less to save anybody. The people whom I could get on call, none of them would even pick up my call. For some reason, even when I would try to call them, I would realize that's not the best way to call. I remember I called one of them. I didn't even call him. They called me for something. And this was like an attempt to reoccupy my seat, because my seat was empty. I'd moved away to, you know, some fake place. Now, somebody tries to, no, now, Kableta, we're organizing this. What? Please come and join us. What? Then, I feel I'm not supposed to go. But man, how can my seat stay empty all this time? So I just say, no, I am still Kableta. I'm going. So I go. So I arrive there. And I look around that place. And then somebody asks me a question. So why did you leave New Vision? Why can't you do this? Why? Then they start giving me advice. And I feel so small, so belittled. I would have been much better holed up in my house, drinking dry coffee with 2 teaspoons of what? Of sugar. The guy, in the name of giving you advice, actually manages to show you that, you know, you lost it. You're there. You're nothing, you're nobody, you're amounting to that. You know, you made a big mistake. And so, at the end of it, to cap all my misery, I have to ask the same guy for what? For a lift. So he says, no problem, I'll take you. Man, that was some humiliation. So he goes on telling me, you know, you can do this, you can do this. As if, remember what you were. David, you had a seat at the king's table. What are you doing running away with? What? In the bushes. There is a seat there for you. And actually, that's exactly what the guy told me. He told me, you know, you're still the best sports writer. Nobody can write as well. You what? If you went back and told so-and-so, even gave me names, even told me I can even send you to so-and-so. And what he was basically telling me, your seat is empty. You can go and reoccupy it. And by the way, in the place that I was, I don't know what kind of logic was stopping me from not going to occupy it. The guy told me nobody fired you. You fired yourself. True. I chose one day. I just woke up one day and said, I've had enough of this. And I left. And he said, nobody can do the things you were doing like you were doing them. True. So I sat, I listened to him. Thankfully, we got home. And I thanked him for the lift. And I left. But thankfully, that came at a time when I knew that, man, I cannot be going backwards. But the truth is, there was a temptation to do it. Because I knew exactly where I would go and who I would go and talk to. And it would happen like that. Now, even Saul asks, why is David's seat empty? And David has chosen to leave a seat at the feast to go and run with Mephede. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's, go to verse whatever, 22, chapter 22, 1 Samuel chapter 22. What does it say? Then David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt,
everyone who was discontented gathered to him. All over Fere, all over Yai, all what? Gathered to who? Now, he was the commander in Saul's army, but he did not go with soldiers. He went with Bafere. He sit, you stay there, leave that. You know, some people expect God is going to build something new using old bricks. He does not. You understand? Eh? So you say, come and bring whatever you want to bring, but I'm staying here on my seat. You understand? Eh? I'm not going to live here. And it sounds like wisdom, but you're not going to arrive anywhere until you live here. You want to arrive by staying where you are. Guess what happens? You never go anywhere. You never arrive. Now, so he goes with 400 distressed people, contented, discontented people, people who are in debt and could not pay. That is, those are the people God gives him. Now, you go with those ones. And then he runs away. And his seat is still there. And the king is even asking, why isn't he at his seat? Where is he? I mean, some of these things do not make sense. Eh? They don't. So anyhow, after going through all of that time, there's one lesson I learned in all that time. I got to a place. There was a time I knew I could get on the phone and get quite an amount of money just by telling somebody, this calculator, first bring this man, the so-called test, and I gather money. One day, when I was so desperate for a car, mind you, I'd been driving for 12 years. It's not like I'd never owned a car. I had. Some people here know what I'm talking about. Somebody gave me a car which was fake, but which was usable. Okay? And could take me from one point to the other. And she told me, bring 1.5 million shillings. 1.5 million Uganda shillings. And I give you the car. 1.5 million Uganda shillings. I could not raise it. Not even close. That's when I realized that my seat... 1.5 million Uganda shillings. So then I realized I've reached the end of everything. Then I realized I have nobody except who? Except God. Now, the way I've told you this before, the way I knew that God was involved in all this, when I had to pay certain important bills, like school fees, like rent, somehow I would get the money. After that, I would be surviving on 5K. Pass somewhere, eat some Camilo, you know. Then if I would buy some sockets of this cafe, then I'm good to go. Then there's a kaduka there which they are kubanjaring me. It actually got to that. And now you see, people don't understand that there is a process and this is not, I had been there before. Then I kind of got my seat in a certain place. You understand? Eh? Where I was somebody of importance, or apparently, I could call, do this, and things happen. Then you go straight back, right back, and man, it is terrible. It is just terrible. But then you learn one important thing. The only person I have is God. Only. And then it took a while. Now, here is the important lesson for you. Let me tell you something. The beauty about the school of the Spirit. You don't stay in the wilderness any longer than you have to stay. If you master the lesson, you will stay there one day. If you refuse to master the lesson, you will stay there 5 years. It's up to you. As soon as the lesson is learned, God is in a hurry to push you to the higher next level. You understand? He does not want you to be there. He does not take any pleasure in seeing you being there. It's just for a lesson. And that lesson is to help you throughout your life. You understand? So he will take you through all of that. You listen to what Paul says in and there is nobody who does not go through. David himself, that one, after being in that place, he thinks he goes and makes friends with the Philistines. The Philistines throw him out. They say, we cannot go to war with you. What if you turn and fight what? Then he goes here, then he realizes he does not have anybody. Then he even goes and fights when people have taken. Now, actually, at the time when he comes to that realization that all he has is God, is when, in the next minute, somebody brings him the throne of Judah and says, Saul and Jonathan are dead. Here is the throne. Now, but he has been cut off everybody. Everybody, let me tell you, there is nobody who is going to do anything important. Some of you right now have been cast away from places where you used to have importance. True? And it is because of the anointing. And the anointing is leading you to those places. Hey, the anointing is the one which leads you and isolates you, and leaves you alone. And God has told you that you don't have anybody, you have nothing. The only person you have is who? Is Him. Now, Paul says that Paul says it in 2 Corinthians. No, okay, let's first go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Timothy. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. That has to happen to everybody. Everybody. You saw, there are people whom you preach, there are people whom you preach, all of them forsake you. Everybody. And no one stands with you. And you have to learn. It happened to Jesus. Okay? As soon as the trials came, everybody took off. You have to face it alone. Alone. Anyhow. So he says, they all forsook me. May not be charged against them. Actually, because it was part of the deal. It's part of the preparation. Now you know you have nobody. You have only God, right? Yeah, now it's time for you to. You know, we are taking you somewhere. Because in the absence of that simple knowledge. But he says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I know this. That time when I was like, you realize you are nothing. Eh? That's when you realize the presence of God. That's when actually God seems to be talking to you more than even He apparently does now. You understand? Eh? That time the things of God are so clear. He's showing you this. And then He shows you that I'm with you, but there's nobody else. So you thought you could call some friend and he gives you 10 million. No one. So okay, 500K? No. Okay, 50K? No. Okay, 5K? I'll call you back. And then he doesn't even call back. Then you realize I have nobody. I am alone with the Lord. You understand? Eh? And it's the best lesson. And it is a very big, it is not good when you're going through it, by the way. Now, let me tell you something. Then after that, when He has proved that, then you start coming up. Now, you think you still have some kind of reputation. You understand? Eh? Then you're still scared that I have some kind of reputation. You know, I'm so and so. I used to be what? Man, God is the master of hitting those reputations. Let me tell you what happened. You remember the owner, the first owner of 2017? You remember what happened with Joseph Kabuleta? That's when I realized that I don't want anything of anybody's opinion of me. They count for nothing. Nothing, collectively, nothing. You understand, eh? Because I knew what I did. You understand? And I know how the Lord prepares me for certain things. Now, I remember a conversation I had had, we were having actually with some men of God. And that man of God, actually a number of us, say that we were there giving, conversing and so on. And then we mentioned a name of a certain top Nigerian pastor who is right now known to be apparently the richest pastor in the world. You know who I'm talking about. Now, that guy says he used to give tithe and seed to Kenneth Hagin. You understand? Now, the day he went to meet him, the first time, and probably only the last time, he went to meet him. And he said that man of God, the Nigerian, is the one saying this himself. He said he sat outside there waiting. He had been sending his seed there, and we're talking about seed. You know? Seed. You understand? Eh? You know the way those Nigerians say that seed shakes the ground. Eh? And they can say it, and you actually see the ground shaking. Eh? You know, they have a way of emphasizing things. Eh? It says, seed that shakes the ground. Eh? Then you even see the ground shaking. Eh? Now, so he goes to meet him. Then they tell him that now the man of God will see you. The guy says himself, the office is like there. The guy did not walk on his feet. He walked on his knees. All the way up to there and kissed that man's shoe. Now, then he left. Then he says he attended a meeting by that Kenneth Hagin later. And then he said when Kenneth Hagin was talking, he saw smoke
coming out of his mouth and coming into this Nigerian's mouth. And then he said, the Lord says, the Lord said, now the mantle has passed on to you. Kenneth Hagin died in a few months after that. Now, the people who would be there with Kenneth Hagin every day and call him Brother Hagin, they are not the richest pastors in the world. They are not. They are not building an auditorium, which is a stadium of 100,000 people. This man is. You understand? Eh? Something happened. And so we are just talking about this casual conversation with these men of God. Now on this day, when we go to honor, out of nowhere, I'm seated there, people are singing and what, and this whole conversation comes to me, is relayed to me. All of it, the way we had it, the whole thing. Then I didn't even know that there was going to be a time to go and honor. I actually didn't know. I didn't know what the program of the day was like. Then in my mind, I said, I know the anointing that I want. I wish I also had a chance like Oyedepo. I didn't want to say his name, I've said it. To go and do what? To go and do that same thing. I didn't know. The next thing I know, they say now everybody come and what? And honor. So, I didn't even know that there were media people. I didn't know nothing. Me, I just went and did what I felt. Like, do you know what a setup is? When you're set up by the Lord, eh? Now, after that, let me tell you something. Before then, first of all, do you know that our numbers in the fellowship reduced? You know that, eh? But now we have more quality people. And I choose quality over quantity. Praise the Lord. Do you know that I used to have partners from all over the world, by the way. America, Germany, one Russia, Dubai, what? South Sudan, where? All of them stopped. And when they stopped, I thought it was going to be something. But guess what? I have much, 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 much more than I had then. You understand? Like, then, but the one important lesson I learned, and this is the most important lesson I learned on that day, is I don't care what the world and my mother have to say. Do you understand? Eh? I don't. So people criticized me and I would just look at them. Now let me tell you something. And I'm not the only one. I was talking the other day with somebody who was telling me about, she met a friend. And when they met, this person said that this lady came to me and she was so distraught. Her family told her, you people, you've gone into something fake, you've done this and that. Then she had friends who used to go to a certain church. Yeah? So what the friends did, they went and got a video, eh? And they gathered around, eh? One of them. Eh? Then they also put the shoe, eh? And then the others came and like, what? Mocking, eh? But now this friend said, she went to see the lives they are leading. And you pity them. Yet at the time they were doing that, eh? They were hurting you, eh? But you chose to remain hurt. You understand, eh? But God just says, don't worry. Give it. When it is of God, just give it time. You understand? Just give it what? Time. Time. Now, my seat, which I was so zealous for, where I would call people, and what? I was earning a salary of just under 2 million. You understand? When I go even to Entebbe to just seek the Lord for one day, I spend more than what was my month's salary. Some of it, I just give it out. I used to wake up 30 days to get it. You understand? But I had to first leave that seat to sit on this one. You understand? I had to leave it. But there was a temptation to go back to my seat. David had to leave his seat. But guess where he came back? Not at the king's table. At the front of it. But if he was zealous to stay there,
How can you leave sitting at the king's table? You never have gone to where you're supposed to go. Now, even this lady was telling me, the people, they be there, and they are saying, let's gather money to go and get a Uber. Now, this is a lady who is earning money in dollars. The one whom they were mocking. So she looks at them, and their dream is to sleep in flats of 700, 800K. For her, she is in flats where she is paying dollars. She has a chauffeur. She has what? You understand? But they were, a few years ago, they were mocking her. Apparently, they were intelligent. Let me tell you, there is no answer bigger than results. When somebody argues, just give them time and wait and see the results of what. Now, that honor thing, you wait and see where it ends. You wait and see all the people who mocked me. They will beg to kiss my shoe and I will not allow. But what it helped me is to realize that they actually are all rubbish. Their opinions count for nothing. I don't care. You understand? And the only person, because I knew that God had set me up in this thing. Even the picture, I didn't know, I didn't even see a journalist taking the picture. I didn't see. The next thing I know, I am all over social media. All over, across the world. You understand? Across the world, and I wake up, I didn't even know. Somebody tells me, man, what? Then somebody calls me and tells me, but neka bleta chichi watu kuzi. Then somebody says, do you know how much we respect you guys? How could you do that? Then I wanted to, if I was not born again, I would have told him two words. One starts with F. I'm being honest with you. Do you understand? But let me not, let nobody fool you. That time when your chair is, you actually feel the pain. Do you know the pain of rejection? When nobody, like, let me tell you, I used to wake up in the morning and my phone is ringing. I spent almost a whole year when I wonder, am I connected? Nobody calls you. They don't want to talk to you. And you think that it hurts? It does? It does. That's why Paul says, everybody abandoned me. I was alone. But the Lord was with me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So that the message of the end time might be preached fully through me. So that a nation might get a godly leader. And come what may, it will happen. I'm telling you, it will happen. Now, the Lord stood with me. But he has to take you through that when you understand. So when you get anywhere, you look at people and you say, none of these people is with me. The only person who is with me is who? God. Because I know, when I left my seat, none of them was there. Except the Lord. Now the things I'm teaching you are so important. Because some of you are going through them. Some of you have suffered this rejection. True? Now, just give him time. When the time arrives, it will be as swift as Joseph. 1 minute, you're nobody. The next minute, people are seeking, courting your attention. You understand? 1 minute, you're nobody. And that's how God, like, instant, like, he waits and waits and waits and waits and waits and waits. Then the time comes. Then it comes. And man, you're unstoppable. Like, and it is, you have been taken through a training for this specific moment. Praise the Lord. And you know, the only person I can really count on is the Lord. Only. Now, let's read one more scripture, then I end. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting from verse, I think, start from verse 16. Start from verse 9. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles.
Somebody, what does the word apostle mean? Sent one, right? So I think God has displayed us, the sent ones, last as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Go ahead. We are fools for Christ's sake. You know what I'm saying? How do you leave a seat at the king's table? But you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. Go ahead. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. Go to King James, although I told you to run away from it. No, okay, stay there. It's just ahead. And we labor working with our own hands, being reviled. We bless being persecuted. We endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been, now this is what I wanted us to get. We have been made as the filth of the world. How do you kiss a man's shoe? You understand? Eh? Do you understand what I'm saying? The off-scoring of all things. What's the, you go to another, whatever. Off-scoring is too difficult English for some of you. I'm seeing Apostle Abraham is checking his dictionary. Eh? Go to another, whatever. We have become the scum of the earth. Can you imagine? Like, where God says, become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. Now, why does he do that? So that you realize that the world, like, there is nothing there. You understand? So when everybody ridicules you, you just wait for your results. Wait and see where it all ends. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let me say this, Vienna. All those former journalists, their salary is my pocket change. Who are saying, how do you kiss? What? I'm being honest with you. Even if I didn't have it now, I would finish today and I would get their salary before I even leave to go home. Then you see them getting angry. There's a time I went to Packard that day, somebody came and looked at my car. Now I even want to get another one. Let me tell you, God, and you will have the last laugh. You will have the last what? As I've told you my story, so that you know that. Some of you know these things I used to go through. You ask Peace Mutebi here, or a few other people here. They know what I'm talking about. Okay? But God and you will have the what? And man, when you do it, you are untouchable. Because you've gone through your lesson, you've learned. Now God has put you on your throne. You're no longer sitting at the king's table, you're the king. Other people have seats on your table in different areas, praise the Lord. And man, life is good. And when you get, and it's only just beginning. Praise the Lord. There's nobody here who hasn't gone through this ridicule. I know that for a fact. True? I know. Apostle Abraham has a story. Some of you family. Some of you wives. Some of you husbands. You understand? And man, when you're going through that, man, you can look like a fool. By the way, you really look like a fool. And I just look back and I say, I thank God, I think it just blinded my eyes to certain knowledge. Otherwise, you can easily find yourself going back. And you never amount to anything. So, but that's why that time I was talking about blindness. You just close your eyes and say, you know what? Eh? This is it. If you have anything you're holding back on to, this thing will not work for you. I said, and let me read one more scripture. By these days, I'm told they are very strict with curfew, so let me. But you tell them, if they get nab you, President Joseph Kabuleta. And if anybody does not listen to that, they are going to be struck. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Let me end here. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of what? Anything that you add to the cross of Christ makes it of no effect. You understand? That's why these people said, oh, you know, bite kamwa magezi, they will never amount to anything. You understand? If I decided to be sharp like that man was telling me, it would have ended in nothing. You cannot have here and here. You're sitting on your seat and you what? You end up with nothing. So somehow you have to say, you know what? If there is anything that I'm missing here, it's okay. Let me go and sell myself wholly to this thing. Come and buy and buy. Then when you decide that, that's when you actually start seeing the benefit of it. If you still have one arm here and another one trying to reach out, you will never get to anything, nothing. Anything that you add to the cross of Christ makes the cross of Christ no effect. You nullify its power. Because the cross of Christ wants to stand alone. The only thing I have, so I stand there. Let me tell you something. I was telling somebody the other day, you see me here. If the Lord removed his hand from me, I have nothing. Nothing. Zero. You understand? Now, that qualifies me to get everything. Even the people come and give me, it's because God has put something on me, and he put something on me because of, you know, he's taking me through. If the Lord removed his hand off me, there is nothing I have. Nothing. Am I going to go back to ask for a job to write? Will they even give it to me? There was a time they could, but now they wouldn't. You understand? But now this is the best place to be at, where the only thing I have is I know the hand of God is upon me. And that's all I need. Ever, ever, ever. All I ever need is that. But then he says, you never leave me nor forsake me. So it is well with me. Amen? He's not going to leave, take his hand off me. So I am settled. I am sure it is well. But the best place to be is there, where there is nothing I have but you. That's the perfect place of worship, where you go to worship and you know that if God was not with you, there is nothing you have of any value to anybody. The only thing you have to offer is the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, some of you are at the stage where somebody even writes something negative about you on for social media. And you're like, can you imagine? She doesn't even know who I really am. What? That's social media. I mean, really, how can you achieve anything when you are concerned about small people's opinions? People who are, somebody who is behind the what? Some cheap phone. And is messing up your life. Praise the Lord. But when, after honor, I said, no matter what you say, even if you say, by the way, I have no reputation to protect. You understand? Eh? I have no what? Nothing. Nothing. The other day, somebody told me, Pastor, I wrote something on social media. Pastor, did you actually say BS? I answered, I said, yes, bullshit. I have no reputation. None whatsoever. It all died there. When I went and what? There is no reputation. I have nothing. All that matters is what God thinks about me. The rest of you will be fine. Praise the Lord. How many of you can say that with me? That all that matters is what God thinks about me. Everybody else, I don't care. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for these people who connect here. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. By the wonderful things that you have shown me, be materialized in their lives in the name of Jesus. I speak a multiplication. I speak an entering into your goodness.
in the name of Jesus. And now, as you have showed me, the time of supreme reward is at hand. And I thank you because each and every person here enters into that reward. Say amen. Say, I enter into my reward. Say, I enter into my reward. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Plot 9, Kulubia Road, Bugolobi. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.